Welcome back to another edition of the Al Heron Talks podcast. We've been gone for a minute. We had a little more than a summer break. We're going to call it a summer break, but we were out for a while. There was a promise we had made at one point that we were going to get you one of these every week, and you know, we didn't quite make that happen. But we're going to effort to do better moving forward. Of course, we are here with our wonderful co-host, Miss Benita Love, is in the house. Yeah. You know, she splits her time between Dallas, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and the entire state of Mississippi doing real estate. And she also made a bit of a change. You know, she is no longer at Monument Realty. She's at Joe Atkins Real Estate. And we got a lot of people who are asking, okay, what does that mean for, are y'all going to be good? Is that, they were asking like it was a breakup or something. I was like, you know, she got a great opportunity. And so she had to go do that. But I told everybody we'd still be doing the podcast together. That's we're good. So, Benita, welcome to another, is this another season? Is that what we would call this season?
We only had probably like three episodes.
We had two episodes of season three. Season three had two episodes. So season four, we're going to do a whole deal. So, but welcome, everybody. We want you to obviously like, subscribe. Now that we'll start getting you some new content. So like, subscribe, share. I think all those little things you're supposed to say. Mm-hmm. And today we've got a special guest. So in our last season, we said we wanted to spend a little more time kind of talking about the entirety of the person of people, right? We want to be a benefit, bring great information, be a value add to people, not just in real estate. Real estate is what we do, of course. But, you know, it's one thing to have a house, but it's a better thing to be able to enjoy that house with health and wealth and all those great things. So we want to bring a little bit of all of that this season as we bring our special guest to be a part of this thing. And so today we've got a special guest, LaKedrick King, who is actually a real estate agent here at Monument Realty, but he is known more for his ability as a trainer, personal trainer, and he helps people achieve their best health through fitness and exercise. And he also knows that it's one thing to exercise and fine tune the body, but he knows you have to fuel the body properly to make that work. So we're going to talk about a little bit of nutrition, a little bit of exercise, and just kind of what it takes, right? So a lot of people at the start of every year, New Year's resolution, this is going to be my thing, right? I'm going to be the best ever in this year. I remember, you know, just like, you know, Greg, who's here with us today, special guest. Greg
wait a minute.
He's going to take what's happening? Why are you interrupting? I haven't said anything yet.
That's it.
So I'm just saying, so Greg is here. And so just like a lot of people say at the beginning of the year, this is going to be my year. Now, I remember Greg a couple of years ago said he was going to get, this was going to be his deal, right? He was going to get in the best shape of his life. He was, I think, pushing about 300 pounds.
Anybody that knows me knows you are exaggerating.
279 is only.
Were you 279?
He's not. No, I'm saying back then.
I'm talking about where were you? What did you start at? Because I remember when I first met you.
I started at 2 something.
Get to the mic. Don't do that.
I started at 2.
It's okay. Be proud. It's inspirational.
No, listen, I think I started at around 280. 289.
I mean,
I can say it, but you can't.
I mean, that's kind of
pushing it, but you can't. So don't start.
It's okay though. But yeah, but what are you now?
230.
Hey.
230. Look at it. That's nice.
No, you look good.
So can somebody first correct me real quick to make sure that I wasn't crazy saying
it's the way you said
almost
it.
It
was the way you said it. Almost 300 pounds.
You said you're pushing 300.
300 pounds. That's all I said.
Okay.
No need to be sensitive, man.
I'm good. I don't take sides, but he did say you were pushing 300.
Thank you.
And 280 is
okay.
Pushing it to the limit.
But I was pushing it well.
Y'all remember that song? Push it to the limit.
I was pushing it well then.
Okay. You say so. But here's the deal. But you made that declaration.
But also, Greg, to your point, you made that commitment.
I did.
That's right.
And you achieved your goal. Mm-hmm. And if we remember, this was actually a competition between you and Al. And somebody did not meet their goal.
And he is a sore loser because every day on Good Morning Monument.
Please get close to the mic.
Every morning on Good Morning Monument. Well, we go over Greg. We go over. You don't have to do all that.
Well, I don't know why you.
But he admitted. But he admitted the other day that he was jealous because I lost all that weight. He didn't, you, Al?
So here's what I did say to that. And by the way, let's properly put in context that contest. So I started that same contest. So I really, I should have been thinking about it differently because a person who's got a lot of baggage to lose will generally lose it faster than somebody who doesn't have as much, mm-hmm. right? So he was starting at almost 300 pounds.
Gotcha.
I was 231. 231 is really big for me, mm-hmm. but it wasn't 300, right? And so needless to say, when he started doing his thing, the plant-based or Wegovy or whatever it was, right, it started dropping off of him pretty quickly, and so I really couldn't keep pace. I did come down. Like today, I'm 193.
Nice.
Okay.
Right?
Very good, Al.
Right. And so at the end of the day, 230, it took me a little bit longer, right, because I didn't have the, the extra stuff. And so it took me a little bit longer, but we got there, right? I said all that to say, I don't know why Greg got all in his feelings about it. He made a declaration. He didn't want to be as big. He wanted to be able to button his jackets and stuff, right? And not have people nervous that, oh, watch out, because that button's about to pop off and take somebody's eye out. Have you seen it with that?
Marcella, that button was mute his mic. How they used to do the president.
That button was holding on to that fabric.
Mute that mic.
That button was holding on to that fabric.
Oh my gosh.
Trying to pull that thing down. You can feel the stress. Yes, you can feel the pressure. Stop. Wait. Mute his mic.
We have to move on.
What we should do actually is put in, if you can, Marcella, if not. Delete this. What I say? Put in the description the link for the episode where we had both of you guys.
The
results or whatever.
Oh, did we do one with the results? Uh-huh. Did we? Okay.
There's a further results here. This is the
This is after.
But just for people to reference, if this is their first episode, they don't know what we're talking about.
That's true. You did a great job. You look good. I mean, because you look like a different person. I remember people were like, dang, what's happened? Did he have surgery? Did he have,
people saying that? Really saying that?
About you? Yeah. They were like, was Greg sick? And I was like, nah, he just lost. He just lost some weight. You know?
Those people.
Because it had kind of that, when somebody's been ill, right? I'm saying you look good. They were just, if it's COVID or what, guys. But anyway, so great job. I want to, in 2026, mm-hmm. kind of live
my... Why 2026?
2025 isn't over. You're doing a Greg now. So I want... I was going to the whole thing of the New Year's resolution, right? Yeah. Everybody says, okay, New Year's, January 1, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and do all the stuff. What I do believe is that if someone ramps up to that, so I'm going to take the last quarter of 2025... Mm-hmm. And develop the habits and the things and start doing those deals to run into January 1 at my best so that I can make that resolution and stick with it because I've already put mm-hmm. myself in a position and trained myself to move like that, to eat like that, to work out like that, to live like that, right? Yep. So that's what I want everybody to be able to do. And so we said, why don't we have LeKendrick come on and talk about some of the myths, some of the things that people really need to do to start to improve their health mm-hmm. through, more intentional fitness, thinking about fitness and how to work out and what to do when working out. And more importantly, how to eat right so that the working out that you do actually will reap some benefit, right?
That's right.
And so we thought it'd be great because we've got now, this is almost... the start of October, the last quarter mm-hmm. of the year. So let's just run into that, run through that last quarter and be ready for January 1. So, LeKendrick, welcome to Bay Out Here and Talks podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you, Coach King. Very much. Coach King for short, LeKedrick King, that's my full name. But yes, I go by Coach King, you know, on my everyday basis because I am a trainer. I am in a gym. My gym is in the Trinity Groves area of Dallas. It's called the Athletic Zone. And so, yeah, let's do it.
Very good.
Glad
very
to be
good.
Here.
Well, good. And LeKedrick is a... He's a local, I better call him a local kid. He's not a kid anymore, but he, compared to me being 54 and then Greg being 60, we're much older than LeKedrick. And so
58.
Again, kind of like that pushing.
He likes to inflate.
But you look well.
Like pushing that 300.
Right. Anita, thank you.
Right on.
289, 58, 60, 300, whatever. Right, so.
You can't live without your haters.
So anyway, you know, you seem like a kid to us, right? Mm-hmm. But he played ball here locally. He yep. was a high school football player. Went to Ole Miss.
Okay.
Yep. I did.
Mississippi.
Yeah. So you know,
hotty toddy.
Hotty toddy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He sounds so funny still to this day when I say that. I mean, because me being from Dallas, you know, we don't really talk like that. You know, yeah, when I went out there to Oxford, you know, I started getting that lingo. Uh-huh. Hotty toddy, gosh almighty. Yeah. It's always funny to me when I, you know, hear people say that.
Yeah.
So he played ball. He was a receiver there for the.
No, I played a cornerback.
Cornerback. That's right. Yep. Cornerback. I don't want to make you ever say. I was trying to make you be Travis Hunter when you were doing both.
I know, right?
What year were you doing?
I was down there 2011, 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you play with Kadir Shepherd?
That name doesn't sound familiar. Did he go to Ole Miss? Yeah, nah.
I'll show you a picture.
Yeah, you have to show me a picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. So did that after graduating, you came back to the Metroplex.
Absolutely.
And then got into the whole
personal training, mm-hmm. health and wellness, you know. As I've matured and grown and gotten older, you know, I look at it differently, you know, I guess now, as opposed to how I did when I was younger. You know, it's not just all about the muscles, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more than that, you know. It's all about moving a body, you know, yes. getting that blood flow going. So those things, you know, have become a little bit more important to me as I've gotten older. And so,
right, yeah. right. And so, and I guess a lot of the training that you were really focused on back then had mm-hmm. more to do with getting yourself ready for football, right?
Exactly. And bigger, stronger, faster.
Bigger, stronger, faster, as opposed to necessarily creating a more than just wellness, overall wellness, correct. Right? It was more just bigger, faster, stronger to make yourself a better athlete.
Yep.
But it looks like your focus is now turned more to the overall wellness to mm-hmm. for longevity and quality of life and those kind of things. And so that's kind of where I wanted to have this discussion.
Right.
Now, you know, Benita might have other things that she's trying to do. And I know Greg being, you know, at his advanced age, probably has other things he's trying to do. And so we'll let them ask their questions okay. too. But I just kind of want to know, there's so many things that we hear about what to do. So if I'm, we'll start this way because I want people to already, we'll jump right into it and you can help debunk some of this stuff. So because at 193, the BMI chart, mm-hmm. if we go by the body mass index, says that I'm at 193 at my height, 5'8 is
obese.
Okay. Yeah, it's obese. Now, okay, but with that, in that same chart would say that somebody who's 230 pounds at, how tall are you? Greg, how tall are you?
You talking to me?
Yeah, how tall are you?
5'11".
He would be morbidly obese. According to the chart. Morbidly yeah. obese, right?
Correct.
What's the difference between obese and morbidly obese?
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
That is so petty. Don't answer that.
No, I want to, because I do want to know.
Listen, let's give the people some substance. Right. Don't answer that. Move on.
I mean, but I could address it just real quickly, you know. obviously, you know, just simply put, you know, one is just more extreme than the other.
Okay.
You know, both are bad. You don't want to be in that space. So, yeah, I mean, just understand that one is significantly, I guess, worse. Or yeah.
I like the way you kind of diplomatically putting it. But I guess, and those of you at home, if you can probably just ask ChatGPT.
Exactly. I mean, but these are real, you know, good talking points for a lot of people in our community. Because.
I've seen a few things where they talk about that BMI chart, and they do say there is an issue with it because it does not properly account for muscle, which weighs much more than fat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it went the thing I was watching, I don't know if it was a podcast or what, but they were talking about you take these elite athletes and you put them on that chart and they would show up as obese or morbidly obese.
Exactly.
And so I guess I'm trying to figure out then if I'm trying to get down to the ideal weight, which for me, according to the chart, would be more like 170, 175.
How tall are you right now?
5'8".
Yeah, it's more so.
You said
like,
right now as though you can. You said right now as though it can adjust.
What if you go get that knee surgery or something?
Yeah, you shrink as you get older, you shrink.
No, but you. I think for your height, I think it may be like 140, 145.
What?
Almost like. For like boxers,
like a lightweight boxer.
Exactly. You're like a lean. Like Floyd like Mayweather. Nice
or based on your height, they expect for you to be like. Way like those guys, you know.
If I were to walk around at 140, exactly. Y'all would think I was on crack.
No, because you're gonna build it up, tone it up with muscle too. You're not just gonna lose all that weight and just looking sick like you're thinking. Ideally, you wouldn't be like that. They're thinking like, okay, you're gonna have muscle too at that weight.
LeKendrick, what would at 145 look at her, how much do you weigh?
Believe it or not, right now I'm about 163.
What, and how tall?
I'm about 5'8".
Okay.
Yeah.
163.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you look lean and trim.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the BMI, then
I think I'm pushing. I think it's like 160. It's in between like 140 and 160, I think, before it starts to like, I guess, get into, I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but I think for my
height. It goes overweight, obese, morbidly obese.
Oh, those are the three options?
No, I'm saying that's where the chart starts to go.
Got you. Okay. So I think like 160 for me is where I start to become overweight.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, I wish I had it pulled up for me right now. But I would simply say, you know, what you guys need to understand is nobody knows your body better than you. And so you have to get a good understanding of what a healthy body feels like on you. But it first starts with you having to understand how to eat to live first, right? Because when you start to eat right, then you start to live right, you know? So simply put, I think that'll help a lot of times because I give it to you guys like this. When you think about, I guess, some of the healthiest people in the world, they're not LeBron James. They're not, you know, people that we think of these athletes. They're the people who have longevity in their life, the people that live to 102, 115 over in Japan, right? When you start to analyze these people who live a simple lifestyle, who eat simple foods, right? These are the people, you know, who if you wanted to, you know, imitate anything, it would be those people, you know, the people that are living long. And so, you know...
They're not in America eating our food, though.
Exactly. So, you know, and that's why, you know, I guess it can get kind of, I don't want to say deep, but you start to look at things from a different lens. Mm-hmm. The way we live life in the Western world and how people live life outside of, you know, the Western world is kind of where the conversation starts to go. And so, you know, when you start to understand how people do things around the world, life starts to make, you know, life starts to look different for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So a lot of that then really focuses on the way we fuel our bodies, right? And so it's the nutrition part of it that is so key. And it's the nutrition part that kind of creates the makeup. So like if you go to certain parts of the world where the diet is consists of something different than this American diet, the people are small, leaner, right? Or appear smaller. But longevity, which is probably a better indicator of fitness, is with them living longer, you would say that that person is fit, right?
Right.
Versus somebody over here might be all muscled up and all that stuff, but
internally they got a lot of issues. They got a lot of things going on.
I was gonna say, even with the Western world, there's more stress. We're always on the go. Out there, there's it's easy life. You know,
you live off of the land.
Yeah, you live off the land. You're walking. You're walking more. Yeah, you're eating fresh.
You eat seasonal. In other places of the world, they eat based off the seasons.
Exactly.
You don't eat all. You don't eat one food all year long.
Yeah.
Nowhere else in the world, I don't think, you know, people do that. Mm-hmm. Or based off the research and the studies that I've come across.
Can I tell you what made a difference for me as a fitness person?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking directly to you. What made a difference for me was when I stopped drinking sodas.
Right.
I noticed a decline, a total decline, in my sugar intake, and my weight just started dropping. It started dropping also when I stopped eating meat.
Okay.
I canceled out meat, and I was just doing, when we first started our competition, I was really, truly plant-based. And it was murder. My body reacted in such a way that it was very uncomfortable for me because I was having these attacks at night. I was frustrated because I couldn't eat. But then over time, I trained my body to get used to eating watermelon, grapes, and it would start filling me up.
Mm-hmm.
And my desires changed. It took about a month or 2 months before my habits became habits.
Mm.
Follow me?
Yep.
And then 6 months in, when I wanted to get comfortable, I would try chicken or shrimp, but I was doing salads consistently. But then I got tired of salads. Then I hit a plateau. And then nothing was happening. And I had to trick my body into doing something different. But what helped also was the intermittent fasting. Because when I would not eat anything after a certain hour, and then the next morning I wouldn't eat anything until around 1 o'clock, weight was just falling off. So now that I have trained myself, or I've developed some discipline, I can see things that I used to do, and I won't do it.
Right on. I guess kind of to feed off of that, I would just simply say the easiest thing for people to do is kind of get yourself in alignment with nature and what is natural. Like he was saying, there were certain times that he would eat, certain times he wouldn't eat. When the sun rises, that's when you start having your first intake of nutrition, which is the fruit, right? Those are the easiest, simplest foods for your body to break down and, you know, do what it do, process, and get into the bloodstream. As the sun starts to go down, that's when you need to kind of stop, you know, putting in a solid food. You can still kind of do the liquids, but try to ease on the solid foods after the sun go down, you know. And that's, like I say, a simple way to kind of look at things, you know. Get in alignment with the sun. When it comes up, I eat. When it goes down, I stop eating.
I love that. Yep. I've never heard it put so simple.
Mm-hmm.
That is good. That's real good.
Yeah.
And then so if you're doing, and you were saying that by starting, y'all hearing kind of like a little.
The ringing?
Ringing kind of sound?
Nobody hears it but you.
How are you going to say nobody hears it but you knew exactly what
that is? That's an idiot. Okay. I was just making sure where we get there.
Did you just call me an idiot?
No, I may have said it out loud. Yeah. I was thinking it, but I didn't know I said
it out loud. It came out.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So, as far as sun up, sun down, then in that window where we are eating, give me, because what works best for me is mm-hmm. something kind of simple. I can go, if somebody says, okay, I'll do it like this, but they only give me two options. And for breakfast, you can either do this, or one of these two things.
Mm-hmm.
For lunch, you can do one of these two things. Or for dinner, one of these two things. I will stick with that, and I can stay with that for months on end.
Gotcha.
So if I come to you and say, well, Kedrick, okay, I do need to try to get closer to what the body mass index deal is telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'm going to use this last quarter to try to get there so that by January 1, I'm more into moving into more of a maintenance kind of situation, kind of like this is now my lifestyle, so this is where I am.
Gotcha.
How would I eat? So sun up, sun down, in the hours where the sun is up, tell me how to eat and make it simple. I'm not somebody who wants to have a lot of choices.
Right.
In fact, just give me one choice for breakfast, one for lunch, and one for dinner.
Cool. Well, you know, I have to kind of start with you want to eat based off of the seasons.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to start. So obviously, you know, pick the season that we're going into and then try to identify in that season what fruit are growing, right? And so you eat those fruits.
So we're going into the fall. This is the, what is this, fall?
We're in fall right now. Yep. So you're going to kind of have to do just a little bit of research on your end to see what food, you know, is in season in my area, I guess, Dallas, or, you know, however you want to, you know, ChatGPT if you want. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, pick from that list. You have a nice variety of fruit, you know, that you can pick from, but you obviously know you won't have, like, the melons right now, the watermelons, because, you know, obviously, like I said, it's a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. You want to stick to eating what's in season. So start with the seasonal fruit, and you start with the seasonal vegetables, right? So, yeah, you can kind of narrow it down to, okay, I only want to pick, you know, these two fruit, these two vegetables, but at least they're in season, you know? And so I think that'll be an easy way for you to kind of start. Okay. In season, fruits and vegetables.
How do you feel, since he brought up the whole plant-based aspect, how do you feel about meatless and no meat?
So when it comes to meat consumption, I would say you just want to do it in moderation, mm-hmm. you know, because talk about, you know, your body breaking down foods. Fruits, vegetables, grains, meats. Fruits are the easiest thing for your body to digest and kind of, you know, process and get to the bloodstream, mm-hmm. right? Which is essentially your life force. And so it goes fruits, vegetables, grains, and then meats. Meats, it take it, you know, it just take it too long for the nutrients to get into the blood cells to, you know, kind of help you do, I guess, what you do on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep it super simplified for you guys. So like I say, yes, you can do the meats, but you have to, you know, understand, you know, what exactly is happening to your body when you consume the meat. You know, it's slowing the blood down, mm-hmm. you know, simply put. You know, that's not a good sign. You know, you want to keep the blood moving. You want to keep it pumping. So, yeah, pick you one meat. Eat it once or twice a meat. Make sure it's a good, clean meat. I know with fish, you got farm raised, you got wild caught.
Let me make sure, because I wasn't sure what you said. If you pick one meat, eat it how often, how frequently?
I would say once or twice a week. Get you a good clean meat. Make sure you go into the grocery store, you know, asking, you know, a well-sourced grocery store. Mm-hmm. Or if you can, I would, you know, you try to go to the farmer's market.
Right,
the build a relationship with the butchers. Or if you know a farmer, if you know somebody, you know, obviously that's top tier. But then after that tier, then it goes down into the grocery stores. This is where you get the Whole Foods, Central Markets, those places. And then underneath those places, then you start to get like Tom Thumb, Kroger, and underneath that is when you get, you know, Walmart, what are the other places?
Carl Saver.
You know, Carl Saver, you know, respectfully, those places, you know, they just don't have the best sources, you know, or the best quality when it comes to, you know, so-called food.
And what were you about to say about the fish, farm raised?
So when you just had a conversation, just always ask, is it wild caught or is it farm raised? Because farm raised, based on the research, is what we know, you know, it's the fish that has been, I guess, altered. You know, it's not the natural fish, but the wild caught fish is the more natural fish, you know. And the same thing with the fish. There are certain seasons where only certain fish, you know, are coming in. We don't have, you know, certain fishes year long. That's not normal. That's not natural, you know. So, everything, like I say, try to do it based off the seasons.
Okay, so for breakfast then, if I pick a seasonal fruit or two.
Correct.
What else am I eating with that? Because that doesn't say, if I just eat some fruit for breakfast and fruit for breakfast, drink some water, and then head out, I'm going to be starving by.
You think so?
Huh?
Right. So I think it also, you had a trial and error is another big thing. You know, you got to try it out and see how your body reacts to it. If it reacts to it in a good way, in the sense of, I'm getting energy, I feel, you know, I feel alive, you know, that's a good sign, right? But if you feel sluggish, if you feel slow, you start feeling tired, you start yawning, you know, these are indicators that something is not in the best interest of your body. So this is why I say the fruit are so important, you know, when you're awakening in the morning, you know, simply put. So the fruits, like I said, they're going to get straight to the bloodstream the quickest. It's going to give you the energy that you need. It's going to nourish you, right? And so when you're nourished, you're not feeling those cravings. You're not feeling that you know, a sense of, ooh, I need some, because the body is nourished. The cells are nourished. When you start talking about the blood, start talking about the cells is what need the nourishment that is coming from whatever nutrients that the fruit may have, the vitamin, the minerals, whatever that may be. So when you nourish, quite naturally, you can eat fruits in abundance, meaning you can eat, you know, handful of blueberries, handful of grapes, handful of strawberries, handful of, you know, kiwis, whatever it is, you can eat them in abundance, and quite naturally your body will know when to say, okay, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. Because it's not you're full, you're nourished.
Okay.
When that nourishment mm-hmm. starts to kick in, then you can relax and say, okay, cool.
I see you're making a distinction between mm-hmm. nourished and full.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And kind of expound on that, because I think I know where you're going with that. But
okay. So when I say nourishment, simply put, we're talking about, you know, nutrients that are able to get to the cells in the blood, right? When that happens, you're okay. But when that doesn't happen, I'm trying to see how can I describe it.
So I can eat something that's not nourishing.
Correct.
But feel full.
Correct. Yeah. Because what it's doing is your body's not breaking it down. So we talk about a potato, something like that, right? The heavier foods, you consuming it, but your body's not really breaking it down. It's kind of storing it in your body, and it's kind of like taking up space, mm-hmm. you know? Hence to why people start to feel full, because it's not going nowhere. You know what I mean? Your body's still taking time. It's okay, what do I want to do with this, and where does this need to go, right? As opposed to with the apples and the oranges, immediately once you consume them, it's going straight to where they need to go. Nothing is getting wasted. Nothing is getting stored. It's going right into action, right? But when it comes to the heavier foods, take a little bit of time for it to break down, to get where it's going, i.e., you know, you talk about, I call it, in some spaces, they call it waste. You know, it's just a buildup of waste because your body's not using it. So now it's just floating around, sitting in your body. And a lot of times you can't poop it out, sweat it out, you know, urinate it out. It just gets stuck mm-hmm. on you. And this is why, you know, sometimes you have to get into extreme modes. You say, okay, how do I get this waste out of my body? Put on a sauna suit or, you know what I mean, start doing extreme things because, you know, you've been over time just allowing more stuff to accumulate in your body, and it's just building and building and building because it ain't got nowhere to go. And your body, like I said, your body is so intelligent, mm-hmm. you know, it knows what to do with a lot of this stuff. And so, yeah, that's essentially what starts to happen, you know, just the buildup of, you know, I don't want to call it food, but it is food because, you know, I'm trying to, you know, keep it up.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about being too. Yeah, so
no,
you don't have to be too.
I like this conversation. No, yeah. You ain't got to be too simple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They can handle it.
Right. Okay.
So just kind of like, so for instance, like when Greg was up to 289,
right.
A lot of that 289 is a lot of that.
It's just
a lot of bacon. When he was back when he was swine time, before he became meatless, a lot of that is just kind of circulating in the body.
Correct.
Right?
Respectfully. Exactly.
Respectfully. Yeah, right? Yeah. And then when he went meatless, mm-hmm. the body starts to repair itself, right?
Correct.
And starts to function a little more efficiently mm-hmm. and starts burning that stuff up. So now he's sweating it out, pooping it out, and peeing it out. And, you know, even his pigmentation changed.
Yeah.
He was less dense. He wasn't as dark. He just kind of got a little bright.
Now.
He was kind of glowing. Like,
glow.
Yeah, he got to glow like the Last Dragon. He was kind of glowing like Bruce Leroy. Right. And so, it was amazing. So that's really what was happening.
Mm-hmm. And that's the goal. You know, that should be the goal for, you know, a lot of us. You know what I mean?
Like, pants start fitting different. He was able to go pull some of them suits that he hadn't worn since 88, 89. And
back into your high school days. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, that's what people like to say a lot of times.
For older gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
For older gentlemen, you know, in their 50s, myself and Al.
All right. Or 60. I'm 54.
What would someone, let's say if we wanted to put Al on the track to help him help him kind of detox and cleanse and get himself together, what would be something that can help him cleanse himself from the inside out?
Great question. I'm glad he went here.
Mm-hmm.
Let him answer.
Let me do this because this was a controversy during our contest.
Gotcha.
Somebody was using the aid of diuretics, mm-hmm. right? They were, you know, eating laxatives and doing all that kind of stuff. Somebody was doing that.
Gotcha.
I
used a cleanse, a 7-day cleanse.
I got it from
natural cleanse.
I got it from Ann's Health Food. I consulted with them. And I wanted to make sure that I was doing it in a healthy way,
yeah.
So that I wouldn't.
So not like Miralax, like you're saying.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. That's what somebody's saying now, but
no, never. Yeah, I think I didn't go that route.
I got
that's,
you.
That's facetious. That's
what's the question?
That's
though?
Fake news.
Yeah, he's asking what's. I guess they're asking what's a good way to start a detox and kind of
for
jump start.
Older gentlemen.
Okay,
I don't want them to hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and obviously the way somebody is asking that question, he's ready to get back on that. He's trying to not get. He wants to move from morbidly obese to being just slightly obese is what he's trying to get to. And so he's trying to see, can he get back, start eating the X-Lax again, or does he need to do it a little bit different?
Right. Yeah. I would definitely recommend, start getting some teas, incorporating teas into your routine, before bed or in the morning time. So kind of gonna have to do some research on, which teas or which herbs, what they do and how they work. But I know an easy one to kind of start with is ginger. That's a good one to kind of naturally detox the body. Do that tea in the morning time. You can kind of do it at night. That's a pretty safe one, for the most part, to once again help get the blood flowing, help to get you, sweating, urinating, getting all that, breaking whatever's inside of you down,
I eat it raw.
You can sometimes eat it raw. I know eating ginger raw helps with the teeth a lot of times, too, if you ever having any type of, oral issues, chewing on raw ginger, but you got to make sure you're sourcing the right ginger too, because you got real ginger, you got fake ginger,
right?
So it's the small ginger, not the real big ginger, but at the same time, something's better than nothing, and at least taking I guess these type of steps are better than you taking other alternatives, right. Respectfully, yeah.
So also too, I would imagine hydration is key as well, because a lot of the time when you feel a little famished or you think you're hungry, it's really you're just not properly hydrated. Definitely. Either.
Yeah, you're right. Hydration is extremely huge. That's why, once again, the fruit are so important. Even in the, I don't want to say fruit kingdom, but, there's a hierarchy in fruit. That's why you got the melons, you got the berries, you got the citrus, right? You have the bananas, right? The higher the water content in the fruit, the better it is for you. Because, once again, you have fruit and then you have regular water. You have fruit water and then regular water, respectfully, right? So when you eat a watermelon, right, there's nutrients in the watermelon that's going straight directly to the blood, directly to the cells, as opposed to when you just drinking water. You can drink an abundance of water, which is a good thing, but there's not a lot of nutrients in water. Even though it does still hydrate you, it gets to the cell, but it doesn't do a lot for you, in the sense of you trying to reap the benefits of something. Yeah, you're going to get the benefits. Water's still way better than you drinking a soda, than you drinking beer, you drinking alcohol, that's a different conversation, but water, simply put, yes, it still does serve a purpose, but even when it comes to the water, you want to source your water. You want to try to get the spring water, right? Or identify where the water is coming from. If they can tell you it came from a mountain, it came from a well, if it can identify a source that is natural in nature, that's the kind of water you want to go with. If it's saying it's been reverse osmosis, distilled, there's a different type of use for those type of water. Yeah, you can still drink it, but it's just not the most ideal for, human consumption.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Love it. Lunch.
Yes.
Give me a good lunch.
When it comes to lunch, now you can kind of get into your I don't want to say heavier foods, but, your vegetables. Mm-hmm. So the variety is key when it comes to lunch. The dark leafy greens is when you can start doing those in a certain, window, respectfully. I would say from 10 to 2 maybe, or in some spaces 12 to 2, you can start eating the heavier foods, which is the vegetables, right? But, of course, an abundance of greens. So there's all type of – I would break it down to you like this. You want to start with a base, right? Or just think about it kind of like a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start with your greens at the bottom. So the dark leafy greens, the better. So the Swiss chards, rainbow colored chards, like you were saying, the spinaches are good. The collards are good, right? But, when it comes to certain greens, you got to do a little bit more work, because you can't just eat them raw all the time, because they – are kind of bitter. So with some greens, you do have to kind of, soak them down a little bit to make them a little bit more easier to eat. But get your greens first, right? Start with that as your base, and then you can kind of get into your grains. There's a wide variety of grains. When I say grains, I'm talking about quinoa. I'm talking about the wild rice. I'm talking about the tri-colored quinoa, right? There's a wide variety of, you know, grains that you can choose from. It doesn't always necessarily have to be the plain white rice, you know?
Right.
Obviously, you can use the plain white rice, but I would encourage you, you know, to get into that variety. So any variety of grain that you can, you know, try to select from. Then go and get into the cucumbers, the bell peppers, the tomatoes, the onions, right? The more variety, the better it is for that gut. So that's what I say when it comes to lunch, you know. Use that that variety. Don't be afraid to, you know, mix it up, but keep it kind of, you know, marginalized. Like I said, your greens, your vegetables, your grains. During lunchtime is the best time for you to eat those heavier foods.
And so then if you're going meatless or...
And let me clean it up just a little bit. I would also say in that time is also where if you do want to do the meat, you can do it in that window as well. But like I said, just once or twice, you know, a week, you put your good fish in or your good clean meat, you know, your well-sourced meat, once or twice a week, just add it in there.
Outside of fish, what are you referencing as clean meat? Are you referencing, like, chicken? The different, you know, they have the caged eggs or, you know, what's the phrase?
Free range chickens, that sounds
like just hype to me.
If you were living on a farm, mm-hmm. if you were living on your own land, like I said, these things would matter. You know, mm-hmm. you wouldn't just be letting your chickens eat whatever. You know exactly what your chickens are eating.
Yeah. Okay.
In the sense of you'd be able to say, okay, yeah, I know these are, you know, because I've been feeding them like so. Mm-hmm.
So that what chicken is that? So what do we call a chicken that we know what they're eating? That's the...
Because the free range
seem like they just out doing whatever. So
that's why, like I say, and it goes back to that tier of having a relationship with a local farmer, mm-hmm. the farmer's market, the grocery stores. I'm getting it from the source first. If I go to this farmer and he say, yeah, I've been raising this cow, I've been raising woo woo woo, he can, you know, you can have a conversation about what's been going on around here, right? And you ain't really got to guess about it or wonder because he telling you from his mouth. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, you accepting that as a fact. Now you get into the realm of trial and error. Now I'm finna try it out, see how my body feel. If my body feel good, if I feel light, I don't feel inflamed from eating this meat, then I know this is a good quality source. But if I go somewhere else and I eat the meat and I start feeling inflamed or I start feeling uncomfortable, it's not a good quality source, you know. And so that's what I mean by, you know, quality source in the meat. You can still do it, you know, but just understand what's going on to your body when you do these type of things, you know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally, if we could just kind of stay away, if once or twice a week, and then obviously a good quality meat. So, like when Swine Time was doing bacon and all that kind of stuff, definitely you out on the swine.
Yeah, because...
And I would imagine beef is not your favorite either.
It just comes to the sourcing. So, like I say, you know, with a lot of animals, you know, in their living conditions, if I see how animals living and I see how animals eating, I wouldn't want that. You know what I mean? You have to be very particular with how you treat your body and what you put into your body, you know. And you have to have that same level of understanding when it comes to other things as well. So, to kind of help you eliminate, I don't know, because I wouldn't approve of that. You know what I mean? So, without, you know, I guess talking bad about the animals, just observe the lifestyle that the animal's living. If the animal's living a happy, healthy lifestyle as an animal, low stress, then, hey, you know, this may be something I would consider consuming, you know? But if you see the animal...
He living stress-free. He out there.
Well, because that's how... I think that's also what I say, like, when you were talking about the free range. Yeah, if they're caged in, they're, you know, stressed out or, you know, just in horrible living conditions... You got to think about you're putting that in your body. You're transferring that to yourself.
Correct.
Yeah. You know?
And so, like I said, just keep it simple. Live off the land, fruits and vegetables and grains. You ain't got to worry about, you know, the animals and the stress and the blood. You know, you ain't got to worry about that. Just keep it simple. The fruits, the vegetables, the grains, you know, those type of things, you know.
I'll tell you what, you feel a lot better.
You feel a lot better. Yeah, yeah. And it eliminates you having to, you know, select from other places because you're like, it's too much going on over there. I'm going to just stick to what's simple, you know, because in that simplicity, you have variety. Like I said, there's an abundance of fruits. There's an abundance of vegetables for you to pick from, you know, based off of what's in season. Like, the variety is limitless. Like, there's so many different colors and flavors of potatoes, of, you know, greens, cucumbers. You'd be surprised at the variety that's out there, you know.
So, salads. I started finally eating salads. I don't eat salad dressing.
So when it comes to the dressings, you want to go, you want to stick to the vinaigrettes, the liquids, more so than the, you know, the custards and in the dipping sauces. That's where it kind of throws everything out. So if you're going to do a sauce, try to make it, you know, a vinaigrette or some type of liquefied, you know. So squeeze the lemon or mix up, you know, I don't know, some olive oil with some vinegar. You know, just try to keep it simpler. The simpler, the better.
Right. Tell me about the, what does that salad consist of? Because now, you know, they have places that have salads. You come back and you're like, oh, so you got a meat bowl that they sprinkled in some greens and stuff, right?
Yep.
What does a good salad really look like?
Once again, a variety. Dark leafy greens at the base, you know, a good grain, you know, that's not plain white rice, not iceberg lettuce. Not romaine lettuce, like
iceberg is the lettuce we see most, right? Isn't that the
in the packaging,
right? The little bit head lettuce, little like, head
yeah. It's not the most ideal. When you talk about a good salad, in certain spaces, those are not the. It's not what I'm selecting first. I want to go for the dark leafy greens, which is why I mentioned like the Swiss chards, the rainbow colored chards, the buck joys. You start getting into the kales, you know, the variety of greens out there. Romaine and iceberg lettuce at the bottom of the chart, you know. So,
okay.
This is rich.
On there, I hear different things about eggs. Eggs, one year eggs are the thing, and then next year eggs, you don't want eggs. So what is the story on eggs?
Simply put, when you consume eggs, based off the research and based off of what, you know, I've come to understand, you talk about, you know, what happens when your body consumes this, where is it going? You know, what is it doing? Is it going to the cells? Is it going to the bones? Is it, what's going on? And this is also why I like to say trial and error. It kind of just depends on what you want to do, right? And so when it comes to the eggs, based on my understanding, it's not ideal because... So you have what's considered alkaline foods and acidic foods, right? Alkaline foods are the foods that are, simply put, the easiest for your body to digest and for your body to get the nutrients from, right? I.e. the fruits, the vegetables, the grains, the meats, the eggs, you know, those type of things. When it comes to the eggs, based on my research, on the more so acidic side, meaning that when your body breaks it down, it doesn't... Now, once again, don't quote me, because like, we can all do research, you know, and then we come back in and say, okay, this is what I found. But when you're talking about what happens when it breaks, when your body breaks it down, where exactly does, you know, the nutrients, you know, from the egg go? What's going on, you know? And based on my understanding, I think when the body breaks it down, it becomes more so on the acidic side in the sense of your body's not using everything. It starts to, you know, become waste in the body, you know? It's the simplest way to put from it. But that's not to say that your body won't take from the egg and get certain nutrients, you know, because your body is an intelligence. It knows what it can use and what it can't use, you know. And so if you consume an egg, your body's going to, you know, consume the good from it. But it's also going to push out the bad from it. And when we start talking about the bad of the egg, that's a whole nother conversation that respectfully, you know, a lot of people start to feel some type of way about, which, you know, we get. But then you start going off into a conversation that, you know, a lot of people, they don't like having because, you know, it's a financial thing, you know, when you start getting into that side.
Well, and I would imagine a lot of nutrition, a lot of conversation about food has a lot of a subtext to a lot of that stuff is the food industry, right?
Exactly.
And so you're dealing with the whole economy of situations. So if you know, when you look at milk is one of the best, you know, examples of this, and you know, as we were growing up, you know, especially you, because you're older. Back, you know, when you were growing up, milk was, kids were supposed to have milk, drink milk, right? Of course, when I was growing up, yeah, we were doing it, but not as much as you. And then, of course, y'all like babies; they were telling y'all 2% get away almond milk, move away from it, right? Yeah. But that lobby, that milk, mm-hmm. industry, that dairy industry mm-hmm. is so strong, right? Because think about it. We all had milk in school. They had milk cartons. That was, you got it with your lunch and all that stuff.
Yep.
And so I really do believe there are some things that have been known for a while that aren't necessarily healthy.
Right.
But because you're going to wreck a whole economy behind telling the truth behind some of it.
Exactly. Yeah, and but like I said, it also goes back to, you know, also understanding your body is such an intelligence that it's going, you put something in, it's going to use what it can and it's going to push out what it can't. And a lot of times if it can't, you know, poop it out, start, it'll just start to, you know, I'm going to put this over here and just turn this into, you know, until we can find a way to get into the herbs and get into something that's a little bit more, I guess, so we start having conversations about bitters, you know, in the sense of things that, you know, you can consume that'll start attacking away at the, you know, the harder things for your body to break down.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. So then obviously dinner could be kind of the same setup as lunch, right?
Not quite.
So now we're pulling back, right?
You're pulling back on the heavy because, like I said,
so
you
want to get
start,
back.
Yeah.
Closer to kind of
get
like
back to
light.
So this is where you start to get into your soups, you know.
And soups.
Again,
soups. Now, soups, yeah. That's
especially
interesting.
Especially in this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, yeah.
Butternut squash, you know, it's about that time of the year.
Butternut squash.
I love
soup.
A good soup.
Yeah, you can make, you know, soup out of butternut squash. Like I'm saying, these are certain vegetables that are in season that you can turn into soups, you know.
Well, see, I always thought the soup, and I guess maybe I'm thinking canned soup or processed soup.
No, right. They were always saying canned and processed.
Oh, look at him over there. Okay.
I'm not even a nutritionist. I don't tell you, stay away from canned goods, period. It's too much preservatives in it.
Okay, very stay good. Away from thank it. You, Greg. Mm-hmm. Look at Greg. Yep, all right, man. What's the fitness? So soups then. So if I'm doing a soup, do people make soup from scratch?
I do.
Of course.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
You don't, but Al doesn't cook, so he doesn't cook. So
I don't know. So
yeah, that's soup. The best soup.
Right. And, but this is why it's so important, though, you know, for you to, you know, I guess respectfully, I would say build and have, you know, certain people around you. And to me, like I say, you know, having a cook, having a chef, is right there where you having a driver, you having a personal assistant for your bookkeeping. That chef need to be right there with you, you know, because if you can't, you know, function properly internally because of what you put into your body, all these other things, it really ain't gonna matter, you know. Or it's really, there's a correlation, I think, you know, between, I don't know, but I just think, you know, how what a person puts in their body and, you know, how they live their life and the decisions that they make in their life. You know, I feel like I can determine a whole lot about an individual based off of what they eat or what they put in their body, you know. And so, not saying it's the end all be all, but it does give me a surface level evaluation of the person I may be, you know, dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Benita? I see you really kind of like, yeah.
I agree. I'm all into, like, especially lately. So, for the past almost 30 days, one, I haven't had any alcohol, but I enjoy eating, like you said, like eating off the land, like whole foods. I'm like, okay, just keep it simple. I try not to shop in, you know, cans and what's in boxes and stuff. I try to, what do they say? I try to eat like Jesus did, you know, or like the Mediterranean, how like they eat like that. But no, I agree about like what you put in your body. You know, it's your body, like he says, I don't know. I'm very particular about what I put inside my body because, it correlates into other areas of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, I kind of like that. What do you think about that, Greg?
I feel the same way. I learned based on, you know, when we first started, this arm was bothering me a lot.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was bothering me, and I knew direct correlation with being overweight.
Mm-hmm. Kind of go back into the mic over here so we can hear.
I knew it was a direct correlation of being overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And it would tingle. It would wake me up in the middle of the night.
Mm.
I would be driving down the street and I would have to hold my arm up like, this is going to stop hurting. And when I changed my, that's what made me really dive into this wholeheartedly.
Because it sounded like you were about to have a heart attack. You were about
it
to
sounded like something. It
sounded
like something was going
he
on.
He listened to, and I'm a lot of listen. People do not listen to their bodies. Exactly. They're like, oh, like even people that's, you know, lactose intolerant and stuff like that. Listen to your body. Your body's telling you exactly what you need, or oh, you're thirsty, you're whatever. And also, food. I don't think you know. Especially here in America. I'm not trying to down America, y'all, so don't come at me. But in the Western, let me say in the Western world.
That's what people, when they travel overseas, that's how you start to
no,
come back.
I've always been like that, though.
Go to Europe for a couple of days,
no,
you come back.
I've always been like that. And I feel like more so in Asian countries, they're better. But anyway.
But we have that same ability over here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we
you know?
Do.
Don't let people
no,
get it
real.
Confused.
Exactly.
You know, we got the land.
Exactly.
We got the same. We got good soil over here. We can get
and
it done.
My family's from the country. So, like, come on. Yeah, my parents grew up eating, like you said, from the land. So that's kind of passed on. So I get that. But, like, our doctors here, you know, our healthcare system, you know, prescribe you medicine for everything, but food is medicine. You know, you can get those nutrients and stuff.
A lot of the things that are in our foods over here, they cannot have them in some of these other countries.
Correct.
And so we probably need to really dive in and do some research on maybe some other countries where the health, like study how the health factor is over there, how the lifespan and all those different things like that, and then kind of study it and make sure that we can mimic some of those behaviors, and like eating from the land, like we talked about earlier, that's common. We can do that. It is going to come a time where we might end up having to grow our own food again. But I think I would rather do it now voluntarily than be forced into it.
That's right.
I'm on a good pathway of controlling this weight.
Try to plant some. Plant a seed if you can.
I'm trying to plant a seed with my brother over here.
There you go.
Stay on board.
So here's what we're going to do.
What's in that cup right there?
This is water, thank you. And then over here, nobody sees this on camera.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Al's. I was just about to be
missing. Yeah, doing too
water,
much. Because yeah,
I just like to hydrate
much.
Throughout the day. But I want to ask right quick, because I feel like we're about to end this soon. Yeah. And I know we're probably going to...
Do another
part
too, yeah, because we got a second contest about to
because I know what people are gonna say when they're like, okay, let's get a jump start on this diet. Not diet, I don't want to say diet. Let's get a jump start on this lifestyle of healthy eating. Then I'm like, well, the holidays are coming up. What do you tell these people? Like, okay, I'm not gonna do it yet. I'm gonna wait, and that's why they wait till January because they're like, oh, well, you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, all the parties
people
and everything like
that.
Yeah,
that is true.
So what would you tell them if they got like, well, I can't do it yet because, I, you know, my family's about to be having turkey and dressing and yams. And
I mean, there's a couple different ways I guess you can look at it, you know. Either you're going to, A, choose to be disciplined, you know, and stand on something, or you're going to be, you know, choose to not be disciplined and not stand on something. And if you choose to do that, then you are going to participate in, you know, consuming, you know, whatever from whatever, from wherever.
Right.
But if you do have a certain foundation and you have something to work with, you know, saying, then I'm gonna start having to make questions. Where'd you get it from? Is it quality sourced? You know what I mean? So you're gonna start asking.
We're gonna go to Thanksgiving dinner asking.
You don't have to because you're thinking you about longevity. Yep. You're thinking about your well being. Think about your body.
Yeah.
You can't let nobody trick you out of your body.
That's true.
Simply because a person just wanna say, oh, it's just an occasion. You know, a lot of horror stories happen from one drink or one smoke or one, it's going to start getting to one piece of meat, one, you know, bite of this or one sip of that. So go ahead and start trying to, you know, develop that discipline now of respectfully saying no because it just don't live up to the standards that I've created for myself. And that's right.
And you don't have to create a situation where making other people uncomfortable. That's how they choose to eat. That's what they want to eat. Fine.
Yeah, exactly.
More power to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to then go question, how you make that up? No, just assume that just like every other year, the same people that made that, they made it a certain way. Right.
But to answer the question, you can still, you know, indulge in those type of things. Just once again, make sure you are using quality ingredients, you know, everything is well sourced, you know. You can still recreate all of these things, but just use clean, natural ingredients.
And it tastes better, too.
And it tastes better. It does. Don't be cheap about it, you know. Have a real purpose. Be very intentional about it, you know.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, so we're running out of time. We're gonna we need to do a part two.
I'm with
because
you.
We didn't get to. So I need a plan. So okay. When we get back to part two of this, which will be the next episode, I need the plan, right? I need to get myself in the best shape possible, which we know is not simply cardio. Because I know, well, and just like for Greg, who doesn't work out, to get him up and going, you know, help. We want to do it two ways. Like somebody like me, who just needs to change my routine.
Do
to
you kinda, work out?
I do.
Oh.
Why you? He looked surprised. Definitely.
I'm surprised. I never knew that you worked out. I mean, no, genuinely, I had no idea that you worked out.
Okay. Well, all right. So
I do remember, to his defense, I do remember him saying he was going to.
I know where we're going with this.
He was going to the geriatric aquatic workout facility. And that's a workout.
Water workouts are very.
But am I lying?
You are lying.
No, you did say you was going to.
I'm not going to a geriatric.
You may not
have
said geriatric.
Aquatics.
No, the place I was going has. An aquatics area where people do work out.
That's
not where I was not going for that intentionally.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to work out.
No, I know what you were trying to do. But that's cool. So the place he's referencing here in Grand Prairie, great facility called the Summit.
Okay.
Grand Prairie is probably one of the best places in all of Texas as far as fitness, right? Grand Prairie really. So you've got the Epic, which is a tremendous athletic facility, and you got the Summit. The Summit was over 50. People over 50. So they were trying to have it to where, you know, that crowd can kind of do their thing, have their own space, do their thing. So I'm over 50, right? Yeah. So after my injury to my leg and foot, I went to go join the Epic. And they saw, because I'm still in a boot and all that kind of stuff, they're like, hey, you know what? You might want to go over to the Summit. Now, I was a little... Didn't like it at first because I was like, oh, you're trying to say I can't really hang at the... But that was the best place to go.
Right.
Because it was comfortable. I didn't run into a whole lot of people. You had all the equipment. You had all the great equipment. But they also had an addition to...
Accommodations.
They had the pool. They had all those kind of things that you could utilize. They have a pool, obviously, at the Epic. But here... They also had the aquatics classes and all that kind of stuff.
Water aerobics,
all that kind of stuff. Now, I haven't done any of the water aerobics, any of that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
But it's there. Like, for Greg, at 60, if he wants to finally start working out, that's probably a safer way for him to kind of get into it, right? To make sure he doesn't get injured. He was already having that issue with his arm, which was probably saying, hey, look, you close to that heart attack. And so that probably
now,
is a good
wait
point.
A minute now. Don't give it to me.
But I'm saying you fixed it,
the
though.
Water is very important as well. Having a relationship with water is very important as well. And I say that in the sense of your tub at home. There's a way that you can use that tub as a space to help you recover, you know. So start, you know, get into the, you know, the essential oils, you know, in your tub that'll help with a lot of aches and pains as well. I know we talk about the Epsom salt, you know. And then, like I say, even the swimming pool itself, you know, just getting there, moving your body, moving your blood. There is a space for that, you know, for sure. But as men, you know, and women too, you know, there's also a very important, you know, a place for us doing strength training, you know, putting your body under a certain level of resistance is needed, you know, because like I say, in certain spaces, you know, they picking up bags or they pulling those cows or they pulling those or they grabbing that hay or they holding those potatoes. There's a certain level of time and attention that the muscles are going through. And of course, we don't live on, you know, we don't live like that, but we have access to gyms and places like that where we can put out, you know, muscles on a certain level of resistance. And like I say, it's time and attention. That's what your body knows. That's what the muscles knows. And that's how you get them to grow and develop.
Absolutely. So that's where we want to go next, right?
Gotcha.
And so we want all of you to watch this episode and come back with us on the next one, right? This was really, really good stuff.
Nice.
And I think most people, if they take, you know, I think there were several pieces in here. So somebody didn't have to try to go do all of it. You don't have to try to become a vegan and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Just the simple fact of the piece where you use the analogy of sun up, sun down to kind of monitor when you eat. Those little things, you know, taken and really taken to heart and acted upon can really improve the life of somebody. So nice. That's really where we wanted to go with this. You did a great job in part one, LaKendrick.
I appreciate it.
LaKendrick, if people want to reach out to you right now
gotcha.
And say, hey, LaKendrick, I want to come to the gym and I want you to kind of help me out, put me on some kind of program, how can they reach you, sir?
You can reach me on any social medias under Coach King AZ. Like I say, the gym is in the Trinity Groves, very near, you know, downtown Dallas. Anytime you see those big old white bridges downtown, you know, think of me because I'm right there in that community. And so, I'm available. So, like I say, social media, Instagram, Facebook, Coach King _ AZ.
Okay.
Coach King _ AZ. All right. And so Greg also said that he, you know, because he hasn't worked out a long time, but we wanted to come visit you at the gym because you made that.
And we should
gave
do
us
that
invitation.
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely.
So we'll go and maybe we'll even bring some video footage so people can kind of see what's up.
Also, what I'll do, so you guys will come and we'll all do kind of like, you know, a baseline assessment to see where we at.
Okay.
So I'll pick some simple movements, you know, we all going to execute it.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Yep.
Okay.
I guess we done because you got it.
Well, no, I just had to because I'm supposed to be somewhere at 5 o'clock. So I'll just make sure they all good. So y'all, great. This was great. Welcome back, Benita. This was good. So great job. Thanks for sitting in with us. You'll be back for the next one because we got to, you know, you got all your little workout gear on and all that stuff. So he'll be ready for the.
I like you ready.
Yeah, Greg was ready for today.
You got the Revive.
Yeah.
All right. Good to have you, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you.